I don't know how history will remember the 118th Congress. It has been an interesting year and a half with a couple different speakers and drama, and some people say a lot of nothing happening. I will say credit should be given to the 118th Congress, the first one to create a United States House Select Committee on Strategic Competition between the U.S. and the Chinese Communist Party. That is a mouthful. Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy, you are on that committee, if I'm not mistaken. Sir, welcome back.
Hey, thank you so much. Yes, I am. I'm the what's called ranking member, so I'm the top Democrat, and I work closely with the chair, who's the Republican, and really all the members to try to take a bipartisan approach on this competition.
I got to give credit where it's due. I mean, I think it's smart to have a committee specifically looking at this very complex relationship we have with China.
Yeah, it's extremely complicated. Basically, the Congress created this committee to assess the technological, military, and economic risks associated with losing this competition and, you know, figuring out what do we do to win this competition. And as you mentioned, it touches really all parts of our lives, and it's really important even for the Chicagoland area and my district, since so many companies and workers are affected by what's happening in this competition, so to speak.
Do you consider China a competitor, an enemy?
I would consider it a competitor or an adversary on a number of different counts. You know, whether it's with regard to, for instance, in the South China Sea, where they claim the entirety of the South China Sea is basically their own lake. You know, a lot of our commerce actually flows through that area and comes to the U.S., whether it's imports or exports. And so, you know, they're, you know, claiming that area as their own poses a lot of risk to our commerce, but also our Navy, which operates in that area, or the economic competition where they dump goods under the cost of producing those goods to undercut their competition, including here in the Chicago area. Just on Friday, yesterday, Thursday, multiple companies from Chicago came into my office to basically point out the predatory pricing that is being utilized by their competition in the machine tool industry to basically get rid of them. And so, you know, we have to do everything we can to take countermeasures against it and prevent that from happening.
Can you explain that just a little bit more? Is that a product of the Chinese government essentially offering so much money to these companies that they can offer these goods? Go ahead, Congressman. Looks like we lost him there for a moment. We'll get him back, I'm sure. Yeah, the relationship with China is a difficult one to navigate. They are a trading partner. We consume a lot of goods from them. We trade with them as well. And it makes for complicated things. We hear a lot in the news about tariffs right now against China. The Trump administration dropped some that the Biden administration has actually kept as well. Congressman Krishnamoorthy got you back on the line here. I was asking you to explain a little bit more about how that works. Is it the Chinese government offers subsidies to these companies that are in China that allow them to offer their goods and services for such low prices that it makes it so difficult for American companies to compete?
That's exactly right. Can you hear me better now?
Yes, John? Sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. Sorry about that. I think the Chinese Communist Party interfered on that phone call. I think, you know, in all seriousness, what they do is a couple things. One, they actually offer tremendous subsidies in the form of discounted inputs for the companies that are building stuff, or they provide grants, they provide cheap loans. I'll just give you one example of where, you know, Chicago companies are really disadvantaged. We make a lot of machine tools in this area. We have high-tech manufacturers who help to build, for instance, the laser cutting machines that every major company uses when it builds stuff. You know, these machines sell for like $500,000 to $1 million or $2 million. And the Chinese, basically what they do is these companies from China come here and offer these same machines or similar machines for like $80,000.
Mm.
Now, the quality is not high, and they don't employ the same safety measures that our companies do here in Chicago. But you know, certainly there are potential customers who are willing to buy that stuff, and it really harms our workers and our, you know, industry's ability to compete.
I want to ask then, Congressman, I know you probably don't agree with the former president's plan for blanket tariffs on everything. I assume so. But do you feel like certain plans of tariffing some goods into the United States from China, is that a solution here, or does that offer complications in another front?
No, I think it makes sense. You know, strategic tariffing makes sense. But we need to do more than that. In addition to, you know, imposing certain tariffs in certain sectors on certain products, we also have to invest in ourselves. We have to invest in our competitiveness. What I mean by that is we have to start to make incentives to manufacture that stuff here in the U.S. We've done that with what's called the Chips and Science Act, which has really helped to bring the manufacturing of semiconductor chips back to the U.S., but there might be additional incentives needed in other industries. Another group came into my office yesterday to talk about, for instance, active pharmaceutical ingredients or personal protective equipment known as PPE, which we're all familiar with, whether it's surgical masks or gloves or gowns. All that stuff is really made in China, and we have to make that stuff here unless we get into another situation where we're so dependent on them that they could use coercive means to try to get their way and basically harm us in other ways.
Yeah, but well, first of all, it sounded like it was a busy day in your office yesterday as all these groups picked Thursday to fill up the schedule. Spread it out a little bit, people. Congressman, I imagine a complicating factor in all of this is the fact that they flew a hypersonic missile into space a couple years ago to capabilities we didn't quite know they were even capable of. And that military threat, not necessarily only against us, but probably more accurately the fear of something, of them doing something with Taiwan, means we are forced into a position where we do have to monitor what our trade situation is as to not provoke things too far. That is a delicate balance that any administration, Republican or Democrat, has to monitor, right?
Well, I personally think we should never give in to threats or coercive means employed by the Chinese Communist Party. We can never do that. We have to deter conflict, and that means, for instance, investing in systems that would make it prohibitive for them to employ, for instance, hypersonic missile systems or initiate conflict even, you know, over Taiwan or any other part of the world. But with regard to trade, I think that we have to balance a couple of things. On the one hand, we want to maintain a trading system that is fair to our workers and our companies, but at the same time that enables all of us to trade with countries that have like-minded systems of trade, like-minded laws and principles governing, for instance, labor standards or environmental standards and so forth.
Yeah, I got one question. Yeah, I have one more question I want to ask you. I only got about a minute left. As much as we fear China, they've had a bad economy or a worse economy over the last couple of years. They've started losing population already. Estimates put them at losing maybe half their population over the next century or more. Does China offer a cautionary tale to our own United States about how we manage our future as well? Do we simply have to maybe wait them out?
100%, yes. It offers a cautionary tale in this regard. China is a hermetically sealed country in a lot of regards. And a lot of people, they don't want to emigrate to China. However, with regard to our country, we have the ability to attract the best and the brightest, the hardest working people from around the world. And that's what enables us to continue to grow in a way that is sustainable and that allows us to achieve high standards of living. That's the number one lesson that I would learn from, you know, what's happening in China, given their shrinking population and very challenging demographics.
Congressman, thank you for the quick answer. I appreciate it. And I learned a lot there. Krishnamoorthy, Congressman, as always, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, sir.